Open Ezekiel chapter 36. Are we there from verse 34? And 24, sorry. Ezekiel 36. This is the process of salvation. Every one of us that will be born again, this is the process. This is how he does it. First, he said, "For I will take you from among the heathen, among the unbelievers, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, the water of the world upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you with the washing of the water by the word." Then he says, "A new heart." You see the process? "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh." After he has done that, "And I will now put my spirit within you," after he does it, "and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." See the process? The first thing he does with clean water. Why did he say clean water? Church, listen. The Bible says that he said, "He that is born of God does not commit sin." Am I correct? Can we read it? It's very important. I think it's 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Let me read it from verse 8 and verse 9. Verse 8. This is the way he put it. He said, "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That verse 8, first look at it. You see, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ was manifested to destroy the works of the devil in you. If Christ is in you, every works of the flesh of the devil inside of you, including fornication, adultery, lying, gossip, and all the wickedness, 419, unforgiveness, murder, everything, he will destroy it. That is the reason he was made manifest. Verse 8, verse 9. He said, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed," God's seed, "remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." See, Peter said that we are born again by the incorruptible seed of his word. The word of God is a seed. When you sow it into that fertile ground of the soul, the heart, it germinates. It is the word you hear that produces repentance. So he's now saying that if he said, "He that is born of God," and how are you born of God? By the word of God, the seed of the word. He said, "He does not commit sin." If you are born of God, what it means there is that you don't enjoy sin, you don't practice sin, you don't live in sin. Why? He said, "Because that seed that produced you, got you born again, is remaining in you. The thing that made you to give your life to Christ is still in you. That word that you heard, that convicted you, is still there to stop you from committing sin. That seed remained in you. Clean water. First, it takes clean water and washes you and cleans you, because there is unclean water. The word that you hear that will not remove worldliness from you, sister, that word is not pure word of God. It's not clean water. The word that you hear, you became a church member. You are sponsoring church activities, and yet you are still 419. The word that you had is not clean water. And there is clean water, there is unclean water. There's polluted water. No, it's true. These days, evangelists from churches, they don't go and preach for sinners to repent. They preach for people to come and be their church members. Now, the words that you will preach to make somebody to be a church member, they are different from the words you will preach to make somebody to be a Christian. And that is the Christianity we have today. How do I know? Amen. A Christian, when you charm another Christian, whether he's your church member or not, something reaches out to the person. That's my brother. That's my sister. But when you meet people who have received this polluted water of the world, if you are not their church member, you are not a Christian. They have nothing to do with you. Where are you from, bride? Hey, you are bride. I'm choosing. I'm a choosing. Who are you? How can Christianity reduce to that level? People are raised up to promote their churches instead of promoting Christ, our Redeemer. You see? Now, that type of water that produces that type of Christianity is polluted water, unclean water of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. I am telling you, and I'm not making it out, if I see a Christian anywhere and I identify, and you will know, there is something inside of you that will reach out. You will just get connected. I'm telling you, you may be Catholic, but there are certain virtues you will know. You say, this is a Christian, yet I'll just see, this is a Christian, but his eyes of understanding, he never opened well. But you can see that this person is evil. Sometimes I see that, and I see that they are even better Christians than me. Better Christians than me. You will see it, you will acknowledge it, yet they are not your church members. You see? I'm telling you, if you have the Holy Ghost, and another person has the Holy Ghost, may not be a member of your church, but the Spirit of God inside of you will give witness. Something will connect to the two of you. And what connects you is not which church you belong. It is the Spirit that bear witness. That is true Christianity. But polluted water everywhere. Polluted water everywhere. I still repeat, Christianity that does not keep you far from worldliness, it's not pure Christianity. Christianity that does not produce brotherly love in you is not pure Christianity. Christ in you cannot hate Christ in another person. That's why William Branham said, elect cannot persecute elect. One must be Cain, the other one Abel. It's true. And always, there is nowhere in the scripture that you ever saw, in church history, that you ever saw people who are in truth being the people fighting people who are in error. Always. He said, we are as sheep. We are just as sheep counted for slaughter. That's how they will call, kill us, kill everywhere. That's how we're going to follow. Because we cannot retaliate. The spirit in us is not the spirit of retaliation. The spirit in us is not the spirit of fight. The spirit in us, that is what Satan takes advantage of. Because our warfare is not carnal. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Our weapons, they are mighty through God. It is a spiritual battle we came here now. Anybody that attack us in our marketplace, we shall say, God bless you. In the night, we will go on our knees. Lord, you saw him. Lord, you saw him challenging me. Arise, oh Lord. In the next day in the morning, you say, sister, how are you? God bless you. He not answer you, God bless you. He still throw something, you still go back again. Lord, you saw him. Fire him. Let Holy Ghost fire, torment him. Let him not sleep in the night. Let him. That's our warfare. But when you jam him, brother, God bless you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, your enemy is hungry, you should do what? If he's thirsty, what do you do? He said, by so doing, what will happen? That is our warfare. Anytime you bless your enemy and he collects it, he's finished. Anytime you bless your enemy and he receives it, he is finished. He has received atomic bomb. They will backfire against him. Praise the Lord. With that word now, washing you. Amen. The next thing that he goes after is what? Your heart. No, he even said he will give you a new spirit first. The next thing is a new spirit. Why does he give you a new spirit? Because the spirit that is in you needs a change, because it is a spirit that has been contaminated with worldly things. See, those of us who are born again and who loved worldly music before, you know now that you are born again, when you hear those music, they irritate you. Why? Because the spirit has been changed. It has been changed. Now, it begins to love the things of God. And William Branham was explaining this scripture somewhere, some time ago, in one of his messages, where he said, when that spirit is changed, listen carefully, because it will happen, it has been happening here. He said, when your spirit is changed, when your spirit is changed, he said, you will love worship. You suddenly now, you love to go to church where music is playing. You know, you now enjoy it. Okay? Now, because your spirit is changed, he changed it so that it will position you to love the things of God, so that your mind will move towards the things of God to position you for him to go further. Do you understand? Now, this is what William Branham said. He said it is at that change of a new spirit that some people think they have received the Holy Ghost. Meanwhile, no, he has not yet. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God coming to dwell inside of you. Before he comes, he does some patch and some rearrangement. He changes your spirit. Hallelujah. Now, it is very easy for you to know whether it is the Holy Ghost you received or it is just your spirit that has changed. Now, when you are in the church, come and see, you love worship. You are the type that very easy you can fall under anointing. Very easy, anything spiritual, you contact it. But how do you know that it is just your spirit that has been changed? Immediately after service, you are now in the bus stop and you meet those agbero. Now that time, now he's your real self. I will show you where I come from. You are ready to jack, you are ready to fight. It is somebody that will remind you, ah, brother, you know, hope Bible now from church. You go say, church, there one side. Make I show this man, say, Christianity, not be foolishness. But you are the one worshiping and jumping and dancing and everything. Yes, before you will not dance like that. Before you will not even come to church. There's something that makes you now, you want to go to church. You want to go to prayer meeting. You want to even carry your Bible and read. Your spirit has been changed. Then, it goes to your heart. Your stony heart. Amen. That heart that is so stony, nothing can make you break down. He changes that stony heart, he said, to a heart of flesh. Now you can be convinced. Now you can be convicted. Now you can cry. Now you can go on your knees and say, Lord, have mercy. Now you can see your wretchedness before God. Then you are now ready for the Holy Ghost. He said, now he then comes and put his own spirit there. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now he now causes you by his indwelling spirit to make you keep his statutes and live a life that is pleasing before him. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the new birth. If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13. Screen it. He said, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God now by his indwelling spirit dwelling inside of you. Now when that spirit is in you and it follows you to the grave, you die with that spirit in you. Hallelujah. Even inside the grave, the spirit does not leave you. He's there with you there. Hallelujah. Even in the grave, he's there with you. If he's not there, if the spirit was not with Christ there, how will he quicken his mortal body? How will he change his body from mortality to immortality? It's by the spirit that dwelleth in you. Is that the way it is put there? Again, Romans chapter 8, verse 11 again. That's the way it is put there. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. By that same spirit that dwelleth in you. The only reason you will hear the trump of God, the only reason you will hear the voice of resurrection, amen, because you have the same spirit with the spirit that is calling you. If you don't have it, you will remain there. No matter which walk you are walking in the church, no matter how big your ministry was, no matter what the mandate you have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you are not born again until you have received the Spirit of Christ. That is the new birth. Let's clap our hands. Those who are going. Those who have that hope. Hallelujah. I have tried to explain this to correct the impression some of the teachings go. That just believe. Just believe. In Romans chapter 10, let's open it. That's a scripture that so many of these preachers hang on to without the depth of that, the meaning of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 8. He said, Romans chapter 10, verse 8. By what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess him, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, listen. Any demon can say this. Any prostitute can mention that. Jesus. Amen. And you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Just believe that God has raised him from the dead. If you believe, he said, that's what he said. He said, you'll be saved. Abba! Verse 10. For with the heart, man. Now, they stop there. They stop there. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Now, you stand up, say after me. Jesus, I confess you today as my Lord and personal Savior. Say after me, I believe that you died. And that is where we have the Anglican's Apostolic Creed. I think there's something like that. I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in this. I believe in that. I believe in the Holy Trinity, the communion of saints, and something like that, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Once you say that, you'll be saved. They have forgotten the next verse that follows, verse 10. This is where the matter was settled. He said, for with the heart, man believeth unto what? Oh, you believe unto what? That is what you believe will lead you to live a life pleasing before God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Salvation. Amen. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, Jesus. You'll be saved. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Oh, them Pentecostals will jam one tongue where their pastor teach them. It's wrong. Salvation is deeper than that. That's what I'm taking time now to tell you. When we talk about baptism of the Holy Ghost, we are telling people to come and receive eternal life. The hope of glory. It's so important, church, that we give it a period like this. Any question?
In the place where you said that this our body is the house of the Lord, that God is talking about, that the real us is inside it.
Yes.
In the book of John 14, where he said that we should believe God and also in him, that in my father's head, there are many houses.
Yes.
That if not so, he wouldn't have told us he's going to prepare a place for us. So that when he comes back, he's coming to take us where he has gone. Now, what confused me in this place is that you are saying that it is this our body that is the houses. Now I want to ask.
Which one has he gone to prepare?
Thank you.
Now, listen. We're always confused. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Yes, where did he prepare that place for us? On the cross. That is where he went to prepare a place for you. On the cross. After he prepared the place on the cross, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. If he didn't die, he didn't suffer all he suffered to purchase our salvation.
Yes, sir.
So that entitles us to the mansion in heaven.
I'm cleared now.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, next person. Okay, a caller is coming in. Hello?
Yeah, good morning, sir.
God bless you.
Yeah, I'm Sister Stephanie from Switzerland.
From Switzerland. God bless you.
Yeah, sir, there's something that is bothering me. Before the fasting and before this program, you said something, we cutting off some certain friends you have. So there's one of my friends that I caught off doing this fasting. Because whenever we are together, all we do, you know, women, I commit the sin of the body. So I'm not comfortable whenever we are talking because of my friend. I don't have any other sex. We always do. That's what we always do on phone.
Sorry.
So now that I'm not calling her again, when I see her, she greets her. She doesn't give me space to greet her. And there's another one that stopped calling me. I don't know the reason. Maybe she misunderstood what I said one time. She said that I told her that she stopped calling me, which is not true. Now my spirit is disturbing me. If I'm committing a sin, since we are not in that good time speaking, we don't speak the way we used to. Not that we don't talk anymore. I bear them no grudges, but we are not talking. Is this true? Because I'm participating in this praying and fasting since it started. So I don't want anything that will stop me from receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Please, can you clear me from this?
Okay, Sister Stephanie from Switzerland. If I get her very well, you are not. You're having problem with a friend. So that you are no more in talking terms. And you are afraid that could constitute a hindrance to your receiving the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now listen, church. In this period, where we are in expectation of the greatest gift to mankind, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, eternal life. Listen, it is true, we are also undertaking a fast, self-consecration. You want to examine yourself. Now, if you don't have a good reason to cut off from someone, then make sure you reconcile with that person. But if you have a good reason in the sense that my association with a particular person disturbs my spiritual life. Anytime I'm around such a person, I get defiled by any means through the things they talk and things like that. You must cut off. But then we are supposed to also do it wisely. You don't go about it as if, look, sister, I beg, no come near me again. No. I want fast. I beg, I want go heaven. You're the only devil in this my life. Now, when you do that, you are creating more problems for yourself. So you don't do like that. But you can tactically avoid someone, and there are many ways of avoiding people like that. So you have not sinned if you are cutting off from anybody that could disturb your spiritual progress. God bless you, Stephanie. Yes.
Thank you very much, sir. My question is, sir, I was listening to one of the message preachers who was explaining on sin. Now, he made me to understand that what we Christians, what we call sin is not actually sin. That sin is an unbelief. He was explaining on what happened in the Garden of Eden, that Eve sinned by not believing the instructions of God. That what we call sin is just works of the flesh. Because when man fell, after the disobedience, after the unbelief, man fell and the flesh of man became prone to sin. I mean, became prone to disobedience and the works of the flesh. So, and so you are explaining this night, you are, on sin. I want to understand what actually is sin and what actually is this unbelief.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, when you see intellectuals preaching salvation, that is the kind of interpretation they will give to the things of the Spirit. Listen, church. Yes, sin is unbelief. That's why we have believers and unbelievers. Am I correct? We have believers and unbelievers. What distinguishes a believer from an unbeliever is the life that you live. What do you believe and what do you not believe? Now you say sin is disobedience. He said so, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Now, before you say there is disobedience, it means there is a law. There's a commandment. So what is the commandment that was broken that constituted the act of disobedience? Don't do this. Was it also?
Yes, sir.
Then you do it. Doing it makes you disobedient. So you become an unbeliever. You become a sinner. Only unbelievers are sinners. Now listen. William Branham also broke it down like this. William Branham said that fornication is not sin. Smoking, drunkards, adultery, gossip, all those works of the flesh. He said it is not sin. He said they are attributes of a sinner.
Yes, sir.
Okay? So it is a sinner that fornicates. It is a sinner that lies. So it is not the lie that is the sin, but it is the attribute of a sinner. You must be a sinner before you can lie. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
So what is sin and what is a sinner? They are the same papa, the same mama. There cannot be sin until there is a sinner. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Your action constitutes sin. And they are attributes of an unbeliever. It is only unbelievers that are disobedient to God. I don't know how else to explain it. But listen, no unbeliever will go to. Every act of unrighteousness is sin. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
And look at it. And every action, let me just give you some of them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Open it. First Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 9. No sinner will enter heaven. No sinner will enter the kingdom. This is what the Bible says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexuals and lesbians, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners, 419, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And that is the attribute of sinners. So, what he called the work of the flesh, the Bible says they are sin. Disobedient to God's commandment. God bless you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes. Hopeful hope.
Daddy, I went to a program recently.
And the speaker called people that said that if you desire the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you should stand up. So I sat down because I didn't understand what he meant by if you desire the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And when he said that, and so many people came out. So when they started speaking and I was not speaking, the man came to me and was like, sister, are you not born again? I felt embarrassed because, you know, so I now told the man, sir, please, maybe after the program, let's see. You know, so you can continue with those that are born again and that want to speak in tongues, you know. Because I was so annoyed because everybody was speaking except me. And I didn't bother myself because I know that the lady that was sitting beside me, at a point she was not saying anything. And I know that she was faking what she was saying. God forgive me. Because she kept on saying the same thing at the same time. Then at the end of the meeting, I went to the man. I said, sir, that I used to think before now that being filled with the Spirit is, or when you have the Holy Ghost is when you started speaking in tongues. Until God, you know, my eyes of understanding was open.
I hear you.
And so the man was asking me, which church am I going? Immediately I mentioned the bride. He said, oh, that man. I said, what do you mean by that man? So he said, there are some things that they teach here that are contradictory. And I said, sir, like speaking in tongues, let us essentially, let us go to the Bible. So actually, with the little I have acquired here, we started the something, you know. And the man was telling me that there are so many gifts that you need to have. I say, is it all or is it? So at the end of the day anyway, I told the man that with what I read here in 1 Corinthians, that there are diversity, there are so many different gifts that one might have two or one. Does not mean that you will have all. But yes. At the same time, I want you to, you know, clarify more on this and expatiate more on this. And at the same time, in this book of Romans, where he said that the gift of God is without repentance. You know, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In Romans 11, you know, I want also to ask, is it even including speaking in tongues or prophecy and, you know, everything? So somebody can actually not repent and, you know, being born again and still operate in those gifts.
Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Church, listen, it is a mystery. You know these things. Where you are now, this church, is part of God's attempt to restore his church. It is called the end time. God sent a message to his church. That is why our evangelism is not to be a palace. If you are an evangelist in the end time message, it's not to be a palace. Let me tell you, there is nobody in the Bia Palo that has not heard the gospel. Take for instance in Lagos here. If our evangelists are going to go out, are you going to go out and be telling somebody, oh, have you given your life to Christ? Oh, he has had that tire. Every human being you see in Lagos here, even if he belongs to an occult, he is still either going to a mosque or going to a church. That's why when I look at the television and I saw those, you know, renegades promoting all those immorality, I would tap my wife sometimes and say, you see that one, when they do like that, it belongs to a church and his pastor or her pastor is watching her now. Listen, church. Amen. What I'm teaching you, don't look at it because I am the one saying it. Listen to me through the scriptures. Let the Bible be your filter. I have no headquarters anywhere. I did not go to Bible college. I'm in school of theology. That's why I am not a reverend. In fact, I am satisfied if you call me Brother Moses. In fact, revelated people will call me Brother Moses. This is how I know whether somebody is my church member or not. Hello? Can I talk to Pastor Moses? This one, a visitor. Hello? But my member, brother, then I know that's my member. Praise the Lord. I know somebody say, me, call you brother. I know, I can't do. If you like, answer me or not. I mean, I can't call you brother. I call you daddy. What I'm trying to tell you is, whatever you call me does not matter to me. Praise the Lord. Forget all this. Whatever is disturbing you is where you're coming from, the hangover, and they worry you. That's the truth. So I forgive you. Call me anything. I go somewhere, they call me Reverend. Yeah, it's true. Ah, Reverend. Yes, I say, and introduce me, Reverend Moses. Give me what time, bring me call here now. If you like, call me anything. Listen, church. What I'm telling you is, thus said the Lord for this hour. Our evangelical field is the Christian world. To go and tell people who think they are saved that you are not saved anything. That's what we are doing. And this is the only age where you find the highest mumu people going to church. You read in the Bible, speaking in tongue is a supernatural action. The tongue you are speaking, is it supernatural? It's simple. Somebody is telling you anything that comes out of your mouth, say it. Anything that comes out of your mouth, say it. How can you speak like that? All of us will be speaking in tongue now. What are you saying? Which language is it's a heavenly language. Did you receive it from heaven? If it's a heavenly language, then did you receive it from heaven, or you just began to speak what came to your head? You better stop that. Christianity has gone beyond that now. Our eyes of understanding he has opened. See, when we say these things, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. When we say these things, our youth contender, I saw a clip on the television today of a presentation of a youth contender, where the title is that they saw the light but did not hear the voice. And that is the problem with Christianity. As far as the ministry of William Branham is concerned, they saw the signs and the wonders. But the voice that followed that pillar of fire that came, they did not hear it. Apostle Paul was the one that mentioned that. The light struck him on the way to Damascus. There were other murderers that were following him to go and murder them in the Christians in Damascus. But he was the one that the light struck. All of them saw that Eli struck him and he fell down. But the voice that spoke, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? They didn't hear it. Every one of them, juggernaut believers, Christian world leaders, all of them, particularly the Pentecostals, they know everything about the power, the gifts that William Branham exhibited. They saw the anointing, but the voice behind the anointing, they didn't hear it. God's attributes we have manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught a revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are. And what
heavens are for. Praise the Lord. Who's original? Oh, the original. The original sin. The original world.
We are called unto adoption.
We are called unto adoption. Full authority and power. Sleep with saints, we wake and join us. For translation in this hour. Gentle day soon be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God. Who's original? Oh, the original.
Originality, the original world.
The original world.
The Son of Man.
The Son of Man.
The Son of Man.
He's the view that heaven sees will be unfair.
The original.
Another verse. We are the Word made flesh. We are the Word made flesh.
We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the scriptures say. Our names are sin within. Redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are anointed.
Inspired.
Inspired by our God.
Oh.
He's revealed that seven sins will be unveiled. The original.
Yes, sir.
The original
sin. Hallelujah. Listen, Sister Hope. And listen, all of you believers around the world. All of you preachers, listen to this statement. It is wrong to say, if you want the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, stand up. It is wrong. It is wrong. This is why you should ask. If you want the Holy Ghost with the fruit of that spirit, stand up. What is the fruit of the spirit? Oh yeah, Galatians chapter 5. Open it. Verse 19. From verse 22, yes, that's one, our flesh. From verse 22, Galatians chapter 5. Now, this is the fruit. See, listen. Before we read it, listen, church, listen. The Bible says, a tree is known by what? By her fruit. Am I correct? How will you know that this tree is a mango tree? The fruit tells us which tree is this. How do we know which spirit is in you? The fruit of the spirit. The fruit of the spirit. That is what Apostle Paul is saying. But the fruit of the spirit. The fruit of the spirit is the evidence that the spirit is in you. What is it? Say it. One. Love. Joy. Peace. Long suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. And what? The fruit of the Spirit. Listen, church. Babalawo speaks in tongue. Okay. Now, listen. Listen, church. Speaking in tongue is a manifestation of the Spirit. It's a gift of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 of them, they are there. One of those 9 is speaking in tongue. Am I correct? Now, it is a gift of the Spirit. Can somebody open for us again? Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 18. See what the psalmist say. Psalm 68. This is, he said, thou hast ascended on high. Oh, glory be to God. Before we come to this scripture, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 9, 10. Verse 9 and verse 10 and verse 11. Now, see. Now that he ascended, who is he that ascended? Who is he that ascended? Jesus. What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11. And he gave some. What? And some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some what? Teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the defining of the body of Christ. Now go to Psalm 66, 68. Go to Psalm 68 where we are reading. You see? Now he repeated, thou hast ascended on high. Who is the person that ascended on high? Eh? In prophecy, already the psalmist put it. Thou hast led captivity captive. Who led captivity captive? Jesus now. Correct? Now, he said, thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also. Is somebody understanding scripture? Is somebody understanding scripture? The gifts is for the rebellious also. Unconverted people also receive gifts. So, therefore, the gift is not the fruit. The gift of the Spirit is not evidence that you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You cannot be rebellious when you receive the Holy Ghost. The spirit of rebellion will go if Christ comes in you. Praise the Lord. Therefore, if you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues, stand up. I know where they are coming from. Everywhere in the Acts of Apostles that they receive the Holy Ghost, the people speak in tongues. Okay? But later on, other manifestations also, you know, began to manifest. That's why Apostle Paul lined it up for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's not only speaking in tongue. Now, but the truth is, if you have received the Holy Ghost, a gift must operate. Because it is a manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit in you is manifesting. But the mystery there is that you can also manifest those gifts without the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. That is why Apostle Peter said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Many are called, few are chosen. And only those who are chosen that are glorified, according to verse 30 of Romans chapter 8. Thank you very much. It's a wrong teaching.
Daddy, sorry, there is another argument, but this one is between me and somebody. Say that we preach that a woman should, you know, learn in silence in the church and not do anything. Say that we are teaching women to be idle, to only come to church and listen to gospel without being, you know, equipped to preach and to teach and convert others. I say that's not true. That we have other forums that where a woman... So she was like asking me that, what if a woman, you know, since I told her that it's in the church, that does not mean that in your house you cannot lead prayers or you cannot preach in the bus as a woman and everything. So she said it's contradicting.
It's one of the problems that the spirit of error has created in the body of Jesus Christ. Everybody is to remain where God has placed you. And the same Bible that gives us authority into the ministry says a woman should not teach. Say they should keep silent in the church. And when we say this, we know we are also in an age of gender equality. And remember, the worldliness has smuggled its way into the church and is taking root in the church. Until now, you know, the church and the world, they have become one. But I'm telling you that there was a time that Israel was like that until Elijah thought he was the only one. Until he discovered that there were 7,000 more people, God told him. Out of millions of the Jews, only 7,000 refused to bow. I'm telling you that in this age, there are people that respect this Bible and will not give a carnal interpretation to scripture, clear scriptural commandments. Yes, we are not rendering our women to be idle. Just yesterday, a church here in Lagos organized her annual women program. And it was my wife that went there to minister. And she went there with two prophetesses in our church here, Sister Joy and Sister Chioma. And right there, they had the same program last year and invited them also there. And there, Sister Chioma picked a sister that was pregnant and told her that the doctor said you have HIV. They say yes. And you also have this other infirmity. They say yes. He said, but the Lord told me he has just healed you. And she went there and tested and HIV was gone. God has used her. And if that sister watches us constantly, you will have seen our sisters that prophesy here. So you won't say we render them useless. They are not useless. We have women here, they do counseling. We have women here that we even have an all-women prayer group. And we have women in our evangelical team here. They follow us and they go out. But when it comes to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, the leadership offices in the church, it is not for women. It is thus said the word. God bless you.